Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rehabilitating Your Portfolio, a podcast about how to protect capital while still capturing the upside. And now, here's your host, Brett Rosenthal.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. We're going to explore all aspects of rehabilitating your investment portfolio. This is a live trading desk, as always, so we're actively managing capital as I'm speaking. Therefore, if the phones ring or a trade has to be executed, I'll be pausing this and stepping away for a minute. Bear with me. But what you need to understand is that everything I'm discussing with you today and every day on this show are tools that we use actively to rehabilitate portfolios that have struggled in the last, 5-6 years because of the new environment we're in, and tools that we use to continue to help our own personal assets grow in a manner where we're protecting capital first and then capturing upside when windows open for opportunities. So, as usual, there's a lot for us to get to today, and as usual, we start with a review of our algorithms. It's our opinion that the world we live in is dramatically different than what we're all used to over decades of investing. After 2008, central banks stepped in and started buying up the market and distorting financial markets in many different ways. One of my favorite examples of that is the Central Bank of Europe currently buying up all junk bonds they can get their hands on of European corporations that have junk status. These are companies that have junk bond status, meaning that their viability is in question. And the Central Bank of Europe is printing worthless euros and buying up worthless pieces of junk paper, right? But what's happened is the European junk bond index is now trading at a yield below 30-year treasuries. 30-year U.S. treasuries. In other words, the market is telling you that it's safer to own a European piece of junk debt in a private corporation than it is to own a U.S. treasury bond. Okay? So obviously that's a bizarre distortion. And so in a world like that where you have central banks distorting markets, you can't use valuations or all the old tools you're used to using to make decisions of how you invest. You need to begin changing your perspective and understanding two things about the world we live in today that is dramatically different. One, central banks are controlling markets, so you have to act accordingly. And two, algorithms dominate trading on major exchanges. And there are many different types of algorithms. Perhaps we'll do a radio show, defining all the different types. But suffice it to say, there are short-term day trading algorithms that are designed to stop hunt. So if you're using old tools and you put an investment in your portfolio and you think you're protecting yourself by putting a stop out in the market, it's going to get hunted out and, taken out. And then very often the market reverses and goes higher and you're sitting there without your position saying, what just happened? Well, you're just playing right into what algorithms are designed to do, which is take advantage of the individual investor and take advantage of the investor who is not updating his arsenal of tools for the world we live in today. So everything we do on our trading desk the last 5 years of literally writing code and optimizing and enhancing and designing different algorithms for different equity markets and different groups and even different stocks, different bond markets, we've geared our entire asset management process to the algorithms that we have developed. And these algorithms help us make decisions based on probability and statistics instead of making decisions based on emotion or old tools that used to work, like valuations and PEs and things, that just don't, they can't possibly work in a world where central banks are printing worthless paper and buying assets having completely no regard for valuation. So this allows us to put our capital to work when there's the correct risk rewards setup, but also protect capital when the risk reward is no longer appropriate for our capital structure. So that's what we're talking about right now. Let's dive in and look at the S&P, for instance. Let's start there. SPY is the stock that we're looking at. Everything we talk about today, when I discuss indexes, I'm talking about, you know, the exchange traded funds of these indexes is the way we, you know, directly use these algorithms in our own portfolios. And there's many different ways to use this information I'm going to share with you. You can outright trade it, right? You can literally go and buy the S&P, SPY, when we have our entry signals. We can, you know, sell it when we have our exit signals. But you can also use it as a guide for your overall portfolio. Should you not wish to jump right into changing your approach, you know, wholesale, and, you know, just using these indexes and these group ETFs, you could still have a portfolio of stocks. There's nothing wrong with that. But what you want to do is, you know, increase your portfolio, increase your exposure when the algorithms are suggesting that the risk reward is appropriate for putting on risk. And then when the algorithms tell us, hey, it's time to back off, risk is too high, then what you do is you go through your portfolio and you figure out ways to raise cash and defend yourself. That's the very basic way to use the algorithms. You don't have to become some type of a day trader. You don't have to become a swing trader. What you can do is you use the algorithms to manage your risk. And we do that in many portfolios. Some portfolios, I mean, my own personal portfolio, I literally trade exactly as the algorithms tell me because I developed these algorithms and I have a high degree of confidence in them. But for other investors who enjoy owning individual names, I say, okay, nothing wrong with that. You want to own, you know, a 25% allocation to Apple in your portfolio, you know what, be my guest. But why don't you do the 25% when the window of opportunity is right, when the risk reward makes it worthwhile, and then when risk is elevated to the point of it's too aggressive, cut that down to a core position of 5 or 10%. So you can have your 5 or 10% long term, but your excess you take off when the risk is too high. So today, let's start with, you know, the top of the pyramid is going to be the S&P, the NASDAQ 100, and the small cap index, and right alongside that, the long-dated U.S. Treasury bonds, because they all kind of work together. So the S&P strategy, yesterday was a very big day. You know, we've had this North Korean issue, and it topped the market 2 days ago, then the market was quiet, you know, or topped the market 3 days ago, and the market was quiet, and then the market cratered again yesterday. That second sell-off took us right through our raised, our trailed stop status. You know, we have different stop points. We do not put those stops into the market for algos to see, so there's different ways to execute. But it does tell us when we breach certain points that we need to become defensive. So as of yesterday at around 2:30, we are no longer long the S&P. We're cash with that allocation. We're no longer long the NASDAQ 100. We're cash on that allocation. And we were already cash on the small cap index over a week ago, which, by the way, has cratered down to the uptrending 200-day moving average, and is now down for the year. So there's all this excitement. You hear, oh, the Dow is up every day, blah, blah, blah. That's 30 big cap stocks. Okay, the Russell 2000, much broader index, is now down on the year. Okay, so yes, the S&P is up on the year. Yes, NASDAQ 100 is up. There's about six stocks that represent almost 50% of the market's advance for the year. Six stocks. Think about that. That's called a hollowing out of the market. It's called a narrowing of the market. And then when that coincides with a breakdown in the small cap index, you can see risk is definitely elevated. Now, does that mean the market's not going to be up today? No. I mean, the market's up right now. It had a big sell-off for a couple of days. It's going to bounce, totally normal. Nothing wrong with that. But when our strategies go to cash, it tells you at the moment that risk is dramatically elevated and you need to do things in the portfolio to protect your capital. So for the first time in a long time, we are no longer recommending the portfolio position of being long the S&P or long small caps or long the NASDAQ 100. All three indexes are in cash in our portfolio. We are still long treasuries. Okay, it's kind of a strange trade what's going on in treasuries. They're getting ripped around because of the news coming out on North Korea. We've already booked half of our gain in the treasury trade. So we've got half of the position out there with a stop not too far away. I don't really have a whole lot of belief in that trade. There's a lot of weird behavior occurring because of our North Korean situation. And I wanted to discuss that again. We talked about news in North Korea on our last radio show. And what I said was that if the markets go down because of North Korea, that's the type of a sell-off where you're going to want to buy the dip, okay? Because any sell-off, you have to look through the lens of how is the news environment affecting the minds of central bankers, right? Central bankers are controlling the market. The Western central banks have an unlimited supply and resource of currency to go after a finite supply of equity and debt. Therefore, prices will continue to rise until such time as central banks reduce liquidity. Now, that doesn't mean there can't be 3 to 5% corrections. It could even be a 10% correction in there. But if the reasons it's occurring are reasons that make it more difficult for central banks to reduce liquidity, such as, you know, some type of military conflict with North Korea, that'll be short-lived. And we'll get a whole nother buy signal in the next couple of weeks, if that's the case, is what I'm trying to say to you. The S&P is right down to the 50-day moving average, and risk is elevated, so we're taking steps to protect capital. But this is not a call to say it's time to start getting short, the market's going to implode, the world's coming to an end from a market standpoint. That's not what I'm saying. The beauty of our strategies is they don't know what the news stories are of the day, and they don't care. They're assessing risk versus reward, and when we get to a certain threshold, we say it's time to protect capital, and when we get to a different threshold, we say it's time to risk capital because the potential for reward is significant enough for the risk we're taking. Okay? Now also, I find it interesting that we do have an algorithm designed for, you know, every now and then we talk about individual groups. So there's a pyramid approach to how we put money to work. We start with the four big indexes we're talking about, and from there, as the pyramid gets wider, we start looking at individual groups, so that we look at groups of stocks, okay? And then once we find groups that we like, you can drop down again. The bottom of the pyramid is individual names that are in those groups leading them. So three out of four stocks follow the market. That's a fact. It's been true since the dawn of time. So we find it best to understand the direction of the big four indexes first, make our decisions based on that, and then get to individual equities at the very end. You know, that's a different way. We're flipping on its head the way most people, you know, invest capital. They find an individual stock they like. They go out there and they say, hey, I want to own this stock. And many people don't even look at what the market is suggesting. They just want to own that stock. You know, so what? So what? The whole market is in an incredibly risk-filled environment. Let's go own shares of Apple because they're coming out with the iPhone, whatever. Okay, that's not really the best way to invest. It might have been okay during certain periods of a massive bull market, but buying momentum right now is potentially deadly to your portfolio. And trying to make up for past mistakes, let's say your portfolio has been underperforming for the last 5-6 years, and you're running out there trying to catch up, and so you're buying momentum stocks, you are exposing yourself to a world of hurt when the decline begins. This is the wrong time to be taking massive amounts of risk. Which brings me to a topic I wanted to just read you a quote today. A quote from Rob Arnot. And I got this quote off of our Twitter feed. You can follow me at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal, on Twitter. And we like to update what we're doing with our algorithms, and we also occasionally retweet other people we respect. And in this case, it was Jeffrey Gundlach, who I think is an individual who has his head screwed on straight when it comes to running money. And the quote that he retweeted, and I've retweeted as well, is a quote that says this: "Performance chasing is investors' greatest sin." Performance chasing. You don't make decisions based on what the Dow did this week. You don't make decisions because you hear on CNBC, oh, the Dow's up 8 days in a row. That's not a reason to put money to work. You put money to work because the risk versus reward equation is ideal for putting risk on. And you protect capital when that equation changes. And you care not for what the performance is of a particular index. You know, news stations like CNBC and the like, you know, it's their job to rile you up and talk bullish and pretend everything's great. You know, every day as the Dow was marking new highs, the small cap index was making new lows for the week and for the month. And now, new lows for the year. So 2,000 stocks as a whole were going down while 30 stocks were going up. What's more important? But nobody talks about that on CNBC, right? Because it's more fun to break out a party hat and say, oh, the Dow's, you know, crossing this threshold. Don't let that confuse you. Performance chasing is an investor's greatest sin. Remember that. And thank you, Jeffrey, for retweeting that. So, as a wrap-up for this, you know, this weekend, I just wanted to remind you all of a couple things. Number one, if the market's selling off just because of North Korea, even though I am saying today our algorithms are in cash, it doesn't mean we won't start putting money back to work in the next couple of weeks. This whole thing will blow over fairly quickly. And if that allows, if that's true, then when I say it blows over, what I mean is, if the tensions, not the tensions blowing over, but the tensions are out there and that will be read by the market as the Fed can't move in September, okay, then this market keeps charging to new highs. Possibly. I mean, I'm not in the business of making prognostications. I'm going to read and react. But I don't want you all to be caught off guard and by surprise if a week or so or 2 weeks from now we're out there buying the market again. It's completely possible. And there'll be all this rhetoric about North Korea, this, that, and the other thing, and eventually the market won't go down on that news anymore because that becomes positive news. It means the Fed can't change their direction on money supply. Okay? But we don't know what's going to happen next. We have to just follow the algorithms and hedge accordingly intraday when we need to. All right, so it can get tricky. Right now is a time where it's very dangerous. It's time to be defensive. It's time to not chase performance and worry about the market going up today or tomorrow. That's not the point. Now we're in that zone of protecting capital. Until such time as the algorithms say, okay, window's open, let's put on some risk again. Oh, and my last thought, I digress. It's Friday afternoon, and my mind's wandering. markets open. But let me just say this one thing about groups. I find it interesting that the precious metals group is beginning to break out of a long-term downtrend. So, you know, that kind of goes alongside of treasuries. Treasuries are going up. Precious metals are going up. We'll see if these are real breakouts. But it does kind of confirm that risk is on the rise. When you get precious metals breaking out, gold stocks like GDX, the group GDX, breaking out of a major downtrend, at the same time as treasuries are going higher, and our algorithms are all stopped out on the major long indexes, that's just all confirmation that risk levels are high. And so best to be defensive for now. All right, so I hope you all have a good weekend. I hope this was informative for you, and I look forward to chatting with you again on Monday. And we'll see how things behave over the weekend. Hope you all have a good day trading, have a good week investing, and we'll speak with you next week.
To learn more about how to protect capital and still capture the upside, join us at rosenthalcapital.com. And for real-time updates about what our algorithms are saying, follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T-R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L.